Shall we turn our Bibles to Revelation and chapter 3? We will pick up our reading from verse 14 right up to 22. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 22. The Bible reads, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Shall we turn to the Lord in prayer? Our God and our Father, we thank you for yet again this important occasion in which we must now worship you in the ministry of your word. Master, we thank you that it pleased you to reveal yourself to us through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, eternal God, even for the wonderful words contained in the Holy Scriptures, words which point us to you, words which guide us even in this life. And eternal God, as we take time now to consider the words which we have just read this evening, we look to you that you would grant us understanding. We pray for the man who stands before us, pleading, O God, that you would speak through him. O eternal God, we are conscious that unless you speak through him, he cannot declare your oracles. Won't you therefore, Father, be pleased to bless us this evening? It is through that worthy and blessed name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So one of the worst conditions that an individual or even a church can find herself is to be devoid of the zeal for the things of God. And as we live in these last days, it seems that the default mode for many people is to be unmoved, to be lukewarm, and to lack spiritual zeal. Lukewarmness is an enemy of the Christian faith, which is affecting many churches today. It is a state of being neither hot nor cold, on the other hand. It is essentially going through the motions of Christian religion without the energy, without the passion of Jesus Christ from the inside. Beloved brethren and friends, as we are gathered this evening, be reminded that you are either hot, cold, or lukewarm. Now, you are hot if spiritual things matter to you. You are hot if you are bearing the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You are hot if your love for Jesus and his people is growing. You are hot if you are attending to private and public means of grace regularly. Prayer, reading the Holy Scriptures, evangelism, to mention but a few. This is indeed the ideal state for every Christian. You are called, on the other hand, if spiritual things do not make sense to you. You are called if you disregard the law of God and entertain the idea that, in fact, there is no God. You are called if the life of sin is your lifestyle. This is indeed a state of those who are not Christians. But also, you are lukewarm if all you do is to talk well of spiritual matters, and yet you do not practice what the Holy Scriptures has to say. You are lukewarm if you are comfortable with your present spiritual condition. You are lukewarm if you profess that you know God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet in real life you are a practical atheist. You deny him by the way you live your life. This is the state of the backslidden Christian and those that are not Christians. In the book of Revelation and chapter 2, right up to chapter 3, verse 22, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to the seven specific churches. It is important to notice that the letters were written to these churches, which in a sense are representative of the whole believing community of God's people. These seven churches were the loveless church, which was in Ephesus, the persecuted church in Smyrna, the compromising church in Pergamos, the corrupt church in Thyatira, the dead church in Sardis, the faithful church in Philadelphia, and the lukewarm church in Laodicea. These seven churches were in fact real churches in real places, situated along the travel route ranging from Ephesus ending up to Laodicea. And it is interesting to note that each of the letters which was written was indeed intended to deal with a specific issue affecting each of these seven churches. And the goal of these letters was basically to encourage the recipients so that at the end of the day, they would endure to the very end, remaining loyal even to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I wish to draw your attention on the lukewarm church in Laodicea, as we read in Revelation and chapter 3, verse 14 to 22. And I'd like us to make some preliminary observation by considering verse 14, which reads, and I quote, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation." Firstly, the letter is addressed to the angel of the church. The word angel in Greek means a messenger. In this case, this messenger is the elder or the pastor of the church. We hear of the words, "There are men, faithful and true witness," and the beginning of God's creation in verse 14. We are told the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Who is this? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, all the promises of God are fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ is the faithful and the true witness because He is completely trustworthy and is the perfect witness to the truth of God. Notice also the phrase, the beginning of God's creation. It is worthwhile to note that there was a heresy or false teaching that was going round in Laodicea and even at Colossae. And the false teaching or heresy was that the Lord Jesus Christ was a created being. On the contrary, the Holy Scriptures teach us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the beginning and the firstborn of creation. He is the one who began God's creation. In John and chapter 1, verse 3, we are told, "All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything that was made." He is the beginning of God's creation. Yes, in His humanity, He had a beginning when He was born of the Virgin Mary. But as God, He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And in seeking to open up our text this evening, I would like us to consider three things: the condition of this church, firstly; secondly, the counsel to this church; and thirdly, the command or call to this church. We begin with the first one, the condition of this church. In verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God omniscient, meaning He is the all-knowing one, knew the weights of this church. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved brethren, who truly knows each one of us gathered here as members of the local assembly. The Lord Jesus Christ does not focus on the external activity, so to say, of the church, but rather He is concerned with the state of our hearts. In short, Jesus knows whatever you do, whatever I do. Not just that, He knows the very reason why we do what we do, the motive behind why we do certain things. And therefore, as He searched the hearts of the people in this particular church in Laodicea, their condition was neither hot nor cold. Simply put, it was lukewarm. The Lord Jesus Christ was referring to being spiritually lukewarm. We need to note, beloved brethren and friends, that the Laodicean Christians were not dead like the church in Sardis, but they had no spiritual energy and enthusiasm. A lukewarm church, I need to say, is more dangerous than a church which is cold. In the same way, a lukewarm person is dangerous than one who is cold. The spiritually lukewarm person usually feels no need for repentance and as such deceives himself or herself. The church in Laodicea was neither openly rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ on one hand, nor filled with a spiritual zeal to carry on with the work. Their sin is not something that they do or thought about, but rather it is because of their lukewarmness. In short, they were hypocrites. They professed to know Jesus Christ, and yet they did not belong to Him.
They had reached a place where they were going through the motions and were unmoved, as it were, by the very things that Jesus Christ demanded from them. They were indifferent to the cross of Christ and the word of God. It is clear that people who belonged to the church in Laodicea, they did not do the will of God. You cannot claim to be a Christian led by the Spirit of God and continue to be lukewarm. A Christian must of necessity be excited with the business of God, excited with prayer, excited with the study of God's word, with evangelism, with fellowship, to mention but a few. I wonder what the Lord Jesus Christ would say of you and I this evening. On account of the church in Laodicea being lukewarm, the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 16 declares, "I will spit you out of my mouth." Now, this is an expression of one who is disgusted, one who is nauseated, as it were. This does illustrate to us that the Lord Jesus Christ uses local churches like this one as bearers, so to say, of his testimony to the world through the ministry of God's word, but also through the lifestyle of her members. Jesus Christ speaks powerfully about the local churches and how that they have a great influence in this very world as they proclaim the true gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ himself. However, the Lord Jesus Christ was not pleased with these self-deceived hypocrites. The church in Laodicea was not only guilty of being lukewarm, but also they entertained the sin of pride. And we see this highlighted in verse 17. "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I did nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." Laodicea was wealthy, and it was also an important commercial center in that particular region. It was proud of its power and prosperity and had a famous school of medicine. It was primarily known for three key industries, namely the banking or the financial industry, the textile or wool industry, and also the medicine, which was well known for its production of eye ointment or salve. And therefore, their prosperity and wealth became an occasion for them to be proud, to the extent that they said, "I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. It is clear that the perception of riches for the Laodicean church was different from that of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, these people were poor. These people were blind. These people lacked the clothing of holiness. Notice how different their thoughts were from Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't see yourself the way Jesus Christ is seeing you, I'm afraid, then you deceive yourself like the church in Laodicea. I wonder how you see yourself this evening. Are you in need of being revived spiritually? Or perhaps your response would be, "I am doing fine. I have all I need, and I need nothing." If that be the case, then you are no different from the church in Laodicea. Because Jesus Christ cares even for those of us who are lukewarm, he decides to give the church in Laodicea counsel or advice concerning their spiritual condition. And what was this counsel? That takes us to our second point, the counsel to this church. Now, clearly, this church was in trouble. It was in a terrible state. But not all hope was lost. the Lord Jesus Christ gives counsel or advice to this church, which was not only lukewarm, but also proud. In verse 18, we are told, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments. Notice that it is only Jesus Christ who is able to transform a poor spiritual condition into one that is rich. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ encourages the church to seek true riches, true purity, and spiritual sight in Him. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot see your spiritual poverty, nakedness, and even blindness. We need to keep reminding ourselves, beloved brethren and friends, that salvation is found in no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The reformers would say, solus Christus, Christ Jesus alone. And as you consider verse 18, where we are told, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may be clothed yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may not see. As we look at this portion of scripture, we see clearly that salvation here is pictured as the gold that makes people spiritually rich in faith. It is also pictured as the white robe that covers our sinful nakedness. It is also pictured as the eye salve or ointment that gives us the knowledge of God and of His truth. In short, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, let me help you so that you can have faith. Let me help you so that you can be righteous. Let me help you so that you can have understanding. And in verse 19a, we are taught that those whom Christ loves, He reproves and disciplines. The Lord Jesus Christ, beloved brethren and friends, is compassionate and loving to the unconverted, and even to the lukewarm. And His love is particularly demonstrated in the fact that He would not refuse to die on Calvary's cross. He died a shameful death on Calvary's cross when He was sent by God the Father to bring about the redemption of mankind. It is the love of Jesus Christ for the church in Laodicea that motivated Him to rebuke the church for her state of lukewarmness, for her pride. In fact, scripture tells us, he whom the Lord loves, He corrects. So much about the counsel to this church. We move on to our third and final point, the command or the call to this church. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 19b, we hear the command or the call to this church. And the command or the call is this: so be zealous and repent. The NIV puts it this way: so be earnest and repent. Brethren, this call must not be confused to mean that the church in Laodicea had strength to come out of the state of lukewarmness. No, no, it can't be. Remember, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do, to work for His good pleasure. They were totally unable to come out of this condition on their own, save for the help of God. The command to the church is be zealous or be earnest and repent. And the underlining point here is that those who are lukewarm are either unconverted or backslidden Christians who serve God without passion and without fervency. Simply put, the state of lukewarmness is offensive to the very being of God, and it requires of necessity repentance. Therefore, it goes without saying that we need to repent of our state of lukewarmness. Jesus is calling the church to get on fire for him, to be excited, as it were, with the business of his kingdom. If the church in Laodicea were to repent, they would definitely have to come alive to the Lord Jesus Christ and his presence in their church. Now, this repentance is not a mere academic change of mind, or basically being regretful or remorseful. It is a radical turning away from sin and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. Repentance, beloved brethren and friends, is a gift of God. And without the sovereign will and power of God, you cannot repent. Its fruit would entail a changed lifestyle, from being a Christian who is on the periphery of the church to being one that is fully engaged in the shared life of the body of Christ. Its fruit would also entail from being a Christian who just goes through the motions to one who is enthusiastic with the work of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, beloved brethren and friends, does not emphasize material things, material riches, at the expense of spiritual riches. No. He says, be zealous and repent. Now, this is in direct contrast to the messages that are hitting the airwaves of our generation. Messages on prosperity, time and again, are resounded in many a pulpit across the globe. The good news is this, that there is still hope for the church in Laodicea, because Jesus Christ is standing at the door and he's knocking. In verse 20 we are told, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Oh, beloved brethren, this is not the position which our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, occupies in a flourishing church. If this church was flourishing in its right spiritual condition, the Lord Jesus Christ would not be knocking on the door, as it were. If we are walking aright with him, he is in the midst of the church, dwelling with us and revealing himself to us in a very special way, and making our worship full of spirituality and life. It was Charles Spurgeon who said, when the Lord is in a church, it is a happy church. It is a mighty church. And it is a triumphant church. Is that how we can describe ourselves at the local assembly? The Lord Jesus Christ was seeking to enter the church in Laodicea. Similarly, Christ also knocks on the hearts of all people, all men, all women, all boys, all girls. This is the wonderful truth of the gospel of Christ. How must we experience intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ? How must we experience spiritual revival if it is not by opening our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and for him to come in? The sad reality, however, is that many churches today may seem rich, may seem respected, and yet they are not any different from this church in Laodicea, which was spiritually bankrupt. How must we conclude? The church in Laodicea, like many people today, was characterized with lukewarmness and pride. Little did the people at this church realize that they were spiritually poor, naked, and blind. And because God is love and patient, He counsels them to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can deal with their sinful condition of spiritual poverty, nakedness, and blindness. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ commanded the church in Laodicea to be zealous or to be earnest and to repent, you and I, beloved brethren and friends, should repent and get back to that sound spiritual condition we were in just when we got converted. You remember those moments or those days when we would get excited with evangelism, when we would get excited with praying privately and also publicly, when we would get excited listening to the gospel message as it was preached, when we would get excited to the study of God's word, but also engaging in the meditation of the same, when we would get excited with fellowship with God, but also one with the other. But now, we are but a semblance of what we used to be. How right the hymn writer was when he said, "Where is that blessedness I knew when I first saw the Lord? Where is the so refreshing view of Jesus and His word?" The one who conquers, beloved brethren, will forever abide in the presence of God. Just like Jesus Christ conquered sin, He conquered death, and He conquered the world. All that we will listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. We are told in verse 22, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And what the Spirit is saying is that we need to be fully zealous and fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God therefore help us to experience that spiritual revival in our souls, in our families, in our churches, but more so as a nation. Amen.